We're studying in 1 Thessalonians. We've reached the second chapter in verse 13. For this cause, that is what he's just been saying to them in the preceding verses about how he wanted to help them and how that he wanted them to walk worthy of God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Now, it's a good thing always to be thankful to God. Every day should be Thanksgiving Day to a Christian. We ought to be thankful to God for a great many things. In this epistle, he is especially thankful for the spiritual growth of these people whom he had led to Christ. In chapter 1 and verse 2, he gives thanks to God because of their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Chapter 2 and verse 13, he was thankful for the way in which they had received the word of God and how effectually it had worked in them. And in chapter 3 and verse 9, he was thankful to God for the joy that came and the joy that they shared with him. And in chapter 5 and verse 18, he tells them that in everything we ought to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, many things that you would never choose for yourself, my brother and sister in Christ, but God wants us to be thankful in everything and thankful for everything. Now, notice that all of the thanks that he gives in 1 Thessalonians is for spiritual blessings. Too much of the time we are materialistic. Too much of the time we think simply of things. And especially here in the United States, we're so filled with an obsession that material things will give happiness. Now, we don't want to be unthankful. I don't mean that. We want to be grateful for what we have, but let's avoid this materialistic attitude. He was thankful because they received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, he was thankful, first of all, that they received it. He didn't say they understood it. I've been trying to study the word of God for a good many years, and I make no pretense of understanding it thoroughly. In fact, if my little mind could take in the Bible, I would lose confidence in the Bible. I know that it's too big a book for my little mind. But what I can't understand, I can still believe. And gradually, I'm coming to understand many of the things which I formerly did not understand. I believe them first. I'm gradually understanding. When we get home to heaven, we'll understand everything. Would you be willing just to believe God? Would you be willing to receive His Word? If you would receive the Word of God, you would become a Christian. And if you have received the Word of God, He wants you to continue to receive it, that is, continue to believe it. If you find something that's hard to understand, just say, well, God says it, and that settles it. Now, what will be the result? Well, He says it effectually works in you that believe. The results of believing are always good. One of the results is given in the next verse. You became followers of the churches of God in Judea, in Christ Jesus. Ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So they became followers of God, followers of other Christians. They became fellow sufferers. They were glad to suffer for the Lord. Now, we're told in 1 Peter that we're called to suffering. And don't think for a minute that you're not going to suffer persecution if you live godly, for this is exactly what is promised. And if you're not suffering persecution, it just could be that you're not living a godly life. Maybe nobody suspects that you are a Christian. Now, we don't want to go out of our way to make people offended or to make them mad at us, but we certainly ought to live before them and speak to them of the Lord Jesus in a way that would cause us to suffer persecution. You know, he says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now, these people at Judea suffered from the Jews, and the people at Thessalonica suffered from the Greeks. And wherever you live, you'll suffer from your fellow countrymen. There's a movement afoot today to absolve the Jewish nation of all blame for the crucifixion of Christ. People who do that ought to read verse 15 of the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Are the Jews responsible for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, of course they are. But so are the Gentiles. Remember that it was Roman soldiers who drove the nails into his hands and feet and thrust the spear into his side. Remember that the accusation of the Lord Jesus was written in Greek and Hebrew and Latin, the three great world languages. The whole world joined in crucifying the Lord Jesus. And if you don't want to be held accountable for his death, then get out of that crowd by receiving the Lord Jesus, accepting him as your Savior, taking your stand with him instead of against him. The Lord Jesus said, if you're not for him, then you're still against him. This is the accusation in Matthew's gospel. Now, God wants us to speak the gospel even though we're forbidden to do so. Many places in the world, people are still forbidden to preach the gospel, but they're preaching it. Souls are being saved, too. We're not exactly forbidden to do so here in enlightened America, but let me tell you that it's frowned on in so-called polite society. You will not be a very popular person if you want to talk about the Lord Jesus. Somebody may politely tell you that that belongs in church. Well, my dear friends, whatever your heart's filled with, this is what you talk about. It's all right, in the eyes of the world for you to be a fanatic about sports, to be a fanatic about politics, but not to be a fanatic about Christianity. Well, let's go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus. Now, he tells them in verse 17, we brethren, being taken from you for a short time, that is, they had to leave in order to keep from losing their lives, he said we had to leave in presence, but not in heart. We loved you, and we wanted to see your face, and we would have come back. But he said in verse 18, Satan hindered us. Now, we're told in the 16th chapter of the Acts that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go to certain places. Here we're told that Satan hindered them from going to certain places. And sometimes it's a little difficult to know which is which. But remember this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil tried to hinder Paul, and in the 5th verse of chapter 3, the tempter tried to tempt these young believers. So he's always trying to hinder, and he's always trying to tempt. But we're told that we are not ignorant of his devices. We have a Bible to tell us exactly how the devil works. And so if we're familiar with our scriptures, we'll know when he's working against us, and we'll go on for the Lord anyway. And he says in verse 19, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? What's going to be the real crown of rejoicing and glory? What's going to be our great reward? Why, he says, you whom we led to Christ, you're going to be there in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. When Christ comes back at the judgment seat of Christ, now this is not the judgment of the great white throne. Believers won't be at the judgment of the great white throne. That is, not as criminals. We'll be there with the Lord, seated with him. But we will be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards. There are five crowns mentioned in the New Testament. Take your concordance and look them up. You'll find them most interesting, and you could earn them. And here's one you can earn, the crown of rejoicing by leading others to Christ. He says, you are our glory and joy. Wherefore, the first verse of chapter 3 says, when we could no longer forbear, we just couldn't stand to think that you might not be getting along well. And in verse 5, he says, we couldn't forbear because we were afraid that the tempter might have tempted you. So we sent Timothy to you. Now, Timothy was needed. Paul needed his help and his company. But because he loved these Christians so much, he gave him up. And Timothy was a great help. He was called here a brother and a servant. A minister means a servant of God and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. He was one who helped to preach the gospel But now these people have to have something more than the gospel. And what did he give them? To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So once you have received the gospel story, you have believed that the Lord Jesus died for you and rose again, then you need to be established and comforted in the teaching of the Word of God. Are you getting into the Word every day, my fellow believers? Are you spending time reading the Word? Are you attending services where the man who stands up, takes the place of being a teacher of God's Word, is really feeding you the Word of God? This is your responsibility, to see that you get what you need to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now he says, I don't want you to be moved by these afflictions. I want you to understand that we are appointed to this. This is to be expected. We told you before, he says in verse 4, that you should suffer tribulation, and it's come to pass. And if you're a believer, you can expect this. We're in an unfriendly world. We're living in a world which nailed our Savior to the cross. It hasn't changed a bit. The world has become a little more churchy, while the church was becoming a little more worldly. But the world has not changed. And the Lord Jesus is still hated, and he would be put to death if he came to the world today. Well, he wasn't afraid of these people being lost. He was afraid of losing his labor. He was afraid that his labor would be in vain. He was afraid that their testimony would be spoiled, and so the Word of God was given, sent there through Timothy, to be a preventative for this. And if you'll get into the Word of God, you'll go on well for the Lord.